Welcome to another episode of the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. My name is Mike Freeland. I am your host. And normally on this program, I'm joined by my co-hosts, either the Cat, Dara O'Connor, or Tony Cottam. But this week, unfortunately, due to technical issues, we're having to re-record the year-end awards. Yep. We did a whole episode and it was fantastic, but when we went to play it back, we had some serious audio glitches. So unfortunately, we won't be able to bring you that version of the episode, but I'll be going ahead and I'll be taking you down the road and letting you know what I thought of what happened in the last year. Now, we have several categories that we're going to be talking about this week. Match of the year, wrestler of the year, tag team of the year, feud of the year, promotion of the year, comeback manager, the Mick Foley Award, and moment of the year. So there's so many things to get to here, but the first thing I want to do is let you know that we are brought to you by the Truepenny Show. Go ahead and check out James Truepenny and his crew of wrestling minds as they go ahead and break down everything that is the world of professional wrestling, especially in Japan. You can go ahead and find their podcast anywhere fine podcasts are made available. You can follow them at the Truepenny Show on Twitter, and you can follow James at Sheriff Lone Star. Once again, that's the Truepenny Show. They're the ones that make the Freeland Wrestling Rewind possible. All right, guys, so let's kind of get right into it here. The first one I want to go into is the moment of the year. Now, there's so many moments in wrestling. There's so many moments that happen during the course of the year that really make you stop and think. What was the moment? When was it that everything just kind of stood still? Time kind of froze. And you realize something really magical was happening. And there's so many different things that you could point to, so many different examples that you could cite. But I think the big one was when Daniel Bryan came back. I think that was amazing because he'd been gone for quite some time. And, there was really a lot of thought that he would not come back. And then there was some discussion that Daniel was actually having other doctors, independent doctors outside the WWE, going ahead and checking him out and seeing if he could possibly get cleared. Now, we know with his contract situation with WWE that it was either he was going to stick with the company and they were going to let him come back, or he was going to pursue other avenues. But when he came back, there was an unbelievable pop. Daniel Bryan was back. And for me personally, guys, I thought that was a big deal. Because if you remember back to his retirement, you know, that was very, very emotional for him, much like a lot of wrestlers, but that was difficult. Daniel Bryan was one of those guys who was told for so long that because of his size, because of his stature, because of his body build, he would never be a top guy. And he defied all those odds. And he became a top guy. And he made it to the summit of the mountain. And he did it his way. And I give him a ton of credit, but I really give the moment of the year right now to Daniel Bryan for coming back. That was nothing short of amazing, you know, because we watch him and we see him and we think, oh, you know, he can handle being a general manager. But whenever you looked at Daniel Bryan, you always thought, no, man, there's something that's just lacking. I really, really would love to see him in the ring. But you know, conventional wisdom says, as far as his health is concerned, that's not a good idea. You don't want to jeopardize that. But if he ever got the chance to come back and he was medically cleared, how great would that be to see Daniel Bryan and the Yes Movement come out? And we got to see him come back. So as far as I'm concerned, he definitely gets the moment of the year. Now, the next one I'm going to go into is Manager Valet of the Year. And for me, this stands out as one that is super, super, super easy for me to pick out. And that's going to be Paul Heyman. Paul has done so many amazing things with Brock Lesnar. And the reason why I want to give him this nod is because Paul has done things with Brock that I think any other manager might not be able to succeed in doing. Because keep in mind, Brock's not there most of the time. Paul Heyman is. So when Paul Heyman shows up, he not only has to carry the torch for himself, getting himself over with the audience with what he's trying to tell them, but he's also going to continue to sell them on Brock Lesnar. Because think about it, there's a lot of people, a lot of fans out there who lost faith in Brock Lesnar when Brock Lesnar came out and said, yeah, this is more of a job for me and I like it because of the money. I'm not necessarily a wrestling fan. There was a lot of people that got turned off by those comments, and yours truly got bothered by that as well. I think a lot of people would get bothered by that. But Paul Heyman does an impeccable job at going out there, cutting the necessary promos, doing the interviews, and really, really being an advocate for Brock Lesnar. And I think with that being said, Brock has done a lot of great things in wrestling. Don't get me wrong. But I think Paul has done so much with so little in the means of Brock Lesnar being side by side with him. So that's going to be my vote for Manager of the Year. Comeback of the Year, wow, it's kind of similar to the moment of the year that I talked about when I said Daniel Bryan. And I think it was really interesting too, because there's a lot of people who hit me up on social media, and I have done different discussions with people. People said, well, wait a minute, Mike, what about Shawn Michaels? What about when he came back for that tag match not that long ago? That's a comeback. Well, yes and no. You know, we were led to believe, if you want to believe all the different wrestling websites out there that were reporting, that this was going to be a match that he was going to have, and then he was going to go on to have, you know, two or three more matches that would eventually culminate into a match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and Undertaker would then retire. But it doesn't look like that was the case at all. It was a one-off. He came back. He did good. He did good for what was expected of him. I mean, guys, he'd been out of the ring for 8 years. I mean, you can't really have high expectations for somebody who'd been out for such a long time. Now, keep in mind, he was still in shape. I give him a lot of credit for that. You know, he's been working out. He's been at the Performance Center. He's been working with Triple H. He's been working with NXT and training people and giving guidance and advice. So he's definitely still been around the business, but there's a lot to be said, and we talk about this in other sports, especially football. You know, you got to be in football shape. You know, it's not just the cardiovascular. It's being able to get in there and take the bumps, and being in there and be able to hit the ropes, and being able to still handle yourself in the ring. I thought Shawn did an okay job. You know, I'm not going to give him an A+ by any means. 8 year layoff is a long time, but still, I give him some credit. He did a good job in there. So you could throw Daniel Bryan, you could throw Shawn Michaels in that category. That's my opinion for comeback of the year. But I think there's another one that a lot of people might not be thinking about. And you may say, well, is that really a comeback of the year? And that's going to be David Arquette. Think about it, guys. David Arquette was a guy who got ridiculed, who got raked across the coals for being WCW heavyweight champion when Ready to Rumble was coming out. And people thought it was a big mockery. And then David Arquette finally says, you know what? After so many years of hearing this, I'm going to come back to wrestling, the industry of wrestling, and I'm going to show everybody that I truly am a wrestling fan, that I truly love this industry, and I am going to show them that I'm dedicated to it. So in a way, you could throw David Arquette into that conversation as well. So many instances that you can look at, and you could say, well, maybe this guy deserves it. Maybe that guy deserves it. Maybe this person deserves it. But these are just my takes. Promotion of the year. Wow. Well, this is definitely a category WWE is not going to win, as far as I'm concerned. I think New Japan definitely comes out on top in this category. New Japan had a stellar year. They had a stellar year. And I think they continue to do great things. You know, Ring of Honor, not that far behind them. You know, a lot of people are speaking very highly of Impact Wrestling right now because of the changes they have made. Many people are believing Impact was turning the corner. Now we find out that, well, their TV deal is expiring, and what's going to happen to the product at that point? There's a lot of conversation about them going just streaming and maybe not getting a TV deal. But promotion of the year. When I think of the phrase promotion of the year, I think of the promotion that put on the best matches. I think of the promotion that put together the best cards, that gave the fans the best bang for their buck. And that had to be New Japan. Everything that they had done this past year was stellar, was phenomenal. And I give it to them. And a close second, with being in the United States, it's got to be Ring of Honor. But before we move on to the next category, you know, when you think of promotion, you know, you think of a company that's going to be putting on, or has put on, I should say, multiple shows. What about a promotion that just put on one show? They're still a promotion. They put on a show. What about Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks when they did All In? I mean, now we've heard that there's speculation and rumor about a All In 2, but what about All In 1? That was amazing. So many people poo-pooed on it and said, that's never going to happen. They can try to do a show. It's just going to be a glorified indie show. And then the rumor was coming out that they were trying to go ahead and do a 10,000-seat arena. So many people said, no way, that's not going to happen. Look, I give them credit, but it's not going to happen. Guess what, guys? They did it. And they sold all the tickets within, what, an hour? If even that? They did it. And it was an amazing show. Amazing. So no, they've only done one show. They haven't done multiple shows. But maybe they should be in the discussion as well. They did a great thing. And I think they're going to do more things in the future Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. You even got to throw in Hangman Page. You got to throw in Kenny Omega. What's going to happen with all those guys? Well, there's rumor that they are going to start a promotion playing off of the success of All In. So what's going to happen with that? Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Is it just speculation? But a lot of credit needs to be given to All In because it was an event that did so much for the wrestling community that basically said to everybody out there who said, you can't do it, they said, yes, we can. Everyone said that the bigger promotions own the business. No, they don't. The fans own the business. They're the ones that open their wallets and pay for tickets. They're the ones that buy the merchandise and the concession. They're the ones that go out there each and every night and continue to support the performers out there. The wrestling fans own the business. The promoters just happen to be the guys that make a lot of money off of the backs of the performers and the people who go to come and support them. But what about that? I'd like to get your take on that. Do you think All In should be considered the promotion of the year? It'd be really interesting. Really interesting. I mean, if we're going to open up the conversation to something like All In, how about we bring another promotion up, which really is a promotion within a promotion, NXT. You know, it's still under the WWE umbrella. So do you say WWE was the promotion of the year, or do you say NXT was the promotion? Well, it would be the WWE would be the promotion. The brand would be NXT. So would you then by default give the nod to WWE, or would you say NXT was the better promotion with inside the promotion? I know we're getting caught up in semantics, and I know James Drewpenny's probably going, Mike Freeland, what in the world are you talking about? You're just going to confuse people. But no, what about them? They put on amazing shows. They are so good, it's ridiculous. They are so far and away a better brand, a better product than the main roster on Raw and SmackDown. It's ridiculous. And I'm telling you right now, mark my word, watch out. 205 Live, it's coming. It's getting better. It's going to continue to get better. They've got amazing athletes, great performers. Watch out for 205. But what do we do with NXT? Because if we give NXT the nod, then we basically have to say WWE was the promotion of the year. But no one wants to give WWE the nod because we all in our minds like to think that NXT is not WWE. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks that way. We like to think that it's its own standalone. And then we get really angry when we hear there's going to be a call-up because we know that our favorite NXT star is just going to get lost. He's going to become, or she's going to become, mid-card. Because it doesn't somehow fall into the concept, the idea of what a sports entertainer is to Vince McMahon and whoever else is writing for him. So what's it going to be? See, when you sit down and you look at these categories, they're a lot harder than you think because there's so many different nuances. I mean, it's like saying, what's your favorite restaurant? Well, I mean, that really depends, Mike. Do I like steak or do I like a good cheeseburger? Or do I like pizza? Or do I like Italian? Or do I like Indian food? Or do I like Chinese food? It's so hard. But then again, think about it from this perspective. You know, we talk about the year-end awards, and we try to quantify these things, and we try to say this is superior in our opinion. But you know, at the end of the day, wrestling, we all love it. I mean, that's why you're listening to this podcast, right? That's why you listen to the Drewpenny Show, right? That's why you listen to the hundreds of thousands of other podcasts that are out there, because you love wrestling. And wrestling is what is in our blood, you guys. So at the end of the day, wrestling wins. Wrestling's the best promotion out there because there's a little bit of everything that everyone's doing that we like. Yes, even the evil empire known as the WWE has their moments where they do things that are good. But you know what? I'll stop on that because there's so many other things to talk about. This conversation could go on forever. But if you want to chime in on this conversation, by all means, please hit me up on social media. I'm at Mike Freeland. Let me know what your thoughts and opinions are. I would love to hear them. I would love to get into a discussion or a debate with you on what you think so far. Who do you think the manager of the year should be? Who do you think the tag team of the year should be? What should be the promotion of the year? Tell me your thoughts because good conversation, you know, stimulates things and gets things going and gets other people involved. And I think that's the beauty of social media, because we are all now so interconnected, it's not even funny. It's not the 80s and the early 90s or the mid 90s anymore, where the only time that fans got to interact is if they read a newsletter or they would write into a magazine and they would read some of the comments and then somebody could re-reply to their comments. We are all at a finger touch away using our mobile devices and our tablets and our computers. So please, let me know what you think about that, because this conversation is not over when this podcast ends. Oh no, it is just continuing. And it will continue all the way till we get to 2019 end of year awards. And then we'll look back on 18 and go, wow, this is what we thought, but now look what we got in 19. So good. Maybe some things will be so bad, but that's the beauty of it. You just never know. All right, moving on to the next category. Feud of the year. Wow, man, now we're getting into the hard-hitting, nitty-gritty ones. The feud of the year. Well, there's so many that you could look at. So many different ones from over in Japan. You could look at Mexico. You could look at the United States. But we're looking specifically at the United States. And I know I'm supposed to be pro-USA because these are the North American awards. But I'm going to have to give the nod to some outside places as well. You know, I gave New Japan the promotion of the year because in my heart and soul, they were. If I had to give one to the United States, North America, like I said, I would probably give it to Ring of Honor. Now, the feud of the year. Let's think about that. The feud of the year. What two individuals, not just guys, gals too, were just at each other's throats? What was the feud? What was so strong and so highly contested? I mean, you got to look at the Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. That was a feud. I mean, even though it didn't really go back and forth very evenly, it was definitely a feud. You could look at AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. That's a pretty good feud. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones out there and a lot of ones that you can choose from. But you know what another really good one is? Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Oh my God, those two absolutely tore it down. So when I look at NXT, and a lot of people don't look at them as the main brand or the main roster, they're developmental, or at least that's what they want you to believe, developmental. But you know what, no matter what you want to call them, no matter what level these performers are on, they're still performing at extremely high level. So you look at Samoa Joe, you look at AJ Styles, great, phenomenal. They're very, very polished. I mean, you look at Roman Reigns, you look at Brock Lesnar, they've been in the business for an extremely long time. Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Just two guys who just have beautiful chemistry. When they get together, they make music. Therefore, I'm going to go with them. I think they had the feud of the year. Tag team of the year? Oh my goodness, tag team. There's so many different great tag teams out there right now. I mean, you have the Undisputed Era. They're amazing. You could go down to SmackDown. You could say the Usos are amazing. Who do you think really solidified the tag team division in wrestling? Was it the Bar? Was it them? Were they the best? Maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it was in Ring of Honor. You know, it's really hard to say which tag team was the single most dominant in 2018 because there were so many good teams. But if I had to put my money on the team that I personally thought was the best, and once again, this has a Ring of Honor, New Japan feel to it, but man, it is so hard to not go with the Young Bucks. They have done so many amazing things. Win or lose, they are the quintessential top. They are the cream of the crop. They're so exciting and entertaining to watch. I absolutely adore and love the Young Bucks. And that's not because they're just the hot thing right now. The Young Bucks, you could drop them into any era, any year, any time period, and they would succeed. They do phenomenal work inside that ring. So Young Bucks, Ring of Honor, / New Japan, they get my nod for Tag Team of the Year. All right, let's see here. The Mick Foley Award. Let me see. Who comes to mind when I think of Mick Foley? Well, When I think of Mick Foley, I think of somebody that's hardcore. I think of somebody that's extremely, extremely dedicated. Someone who takes a lot of pride in what they do. You know, and this pick might kind of catch some people off guard. And some people may say, I don't really know what he's talking about with that one. But the person that I'm going to pick for this one is definitely, for the guys, it's going to be Aleister Black. And I guess that does fall into the category of WWE, but it is NXT. I love Aleister Black. I love what he does. I love what he puts himself through. I love his dedication, his passion, his energy, his ruthlessness. He really embodies, in my opinion, a lot of the qualities and virtues that Mick had. I think Lars Sullivan has those same qualities and features as well. I think the intensity, the passion that comes through, you know, not necessarily caring what they put their body through, really working hard to please the fans. You know, we often heard that Mick was very much a people pleaser when it came to matches. He wanted to make sure that he gave the fans their money's worth. And I think those two guys definitely did that. And I love Aleister Black for what he does. I feel like he's so good at what he does, and it just oozes out of his pores. And I think if you want to go ahead and you want to pick a female version of that, Nikki Cross. I mean, talk about somebody who literally just eats, sleeps, and breathes who she is, the gimmick, the lifestyle, everything. She goes full throttle, 24/7, 365. She is intense. And I might even go as far as saying, she is extreme. So those would be the individuals that would come to mind as far as the Mick Foley Award. Let me know what you think about that. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? What are your thoughts? Guys, we only have two more categories to go before this year awards are over. And that's Wrestler of the Year and Match of the Year. But man, listen to this. Wrestler of the Year, Wrestler of the Year. Who in the world could that be? I mean, a lot of people could say, well, the Wrestler of the Year, from a woman's perspective, Charlotte Flair. And then you're going to have people argue with you and say, no, are you kidding me? It's Ronda Rousey. And then you're going to have some people as of late say, no way, it's Becky Lynch. Who's it going to be? From a woman's perspective, that's WWE. I mean, look at Impact Wrestling. Who would you pick there? Would you pick Ty Valkyrie? Would you pick Tessa Blanchard? Who would you pick? I know there's so many women out there that are so good at what they do. So do we have to break this up to a women's winner and a men's winner? Or do we have to say, well, we're going to put them all together and we're going to pick just one? Would you pick AJ Styles for his incredibly long title reign? Who would you pick? Who do you pick? Would it be Roman Reigns? Even though not everybody was digging Roman Reigns, but there was a large contingent of people who were digging Roman Reigns. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's give his due. The man did everything that was asked of him. He was an amazing performer. He worked very, very hard. I think the reason people were so down on the character, and let me specify that, the character, not the person, the character, is because we don't like the way WWE always packages people. And we always don't like the fact that Vince McMahon, in his mind, thinks he knows more than we do, or that he knows what we like. It's just like your parents when they would pack you your lunch when you were growing up and they would continue to give you the same thing every single day. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich and an apple. Come on, I don't want that. Give me something else. But that's the way wrestling is. The promoters, in some ways, not always, but some ways, think that they have a head up on these people, these little people that we are called fans. But who are you going to pick? Wrestler of the Year? Ronda? Charlotte? Roman? AJ? Who are you going to pick? Man, it's so hard. You going to pick Kenny Omega? I mean, even though Kenny Omega is more New Japan than he is necessarily Ring of Honor. You going to pick Chris Jericho? But he's more New Japan. Who? A better question would be, gosh, why do I have to pick one? That's so hard. Oh, man, who would I pick? North America Wrestler of the Year. All right, here we go. AJ Styles. you got to give it to AJ. He is one of the longest title reigns in WWE history. He's an amazing performer. He puts on amazing matches. He works injured. He does nothing but go out there and steal the show each and every night. He does exactly what's required of him. Wrestler of the year in North America, I am definitely going to give to AJ Styles. And yes, I am including all the wrestlers that are in NXT as well. And there are so many good ones. But right now, this was the year of AJ. AJ Styles was phenomenal. No pun intended. Or maybe pun intended, because he was. You know, it's interesting. We look back on the career of AJ Styles, and we look back at what he did, especially what he did in TNA / Impact Wrestling. You know, that was 7, 8, 9 years ago. He was doing amazing things. And now, at the age he is, he looks fantastic, and he's putting on just as good, if not better, matches. AJ Styles may not even have hit his peak yet, in my opinion. But I know you got to give it to AJ Styles. Wrestler of the Year, North America, AJ Styles. All right, here we are. The final category, Match of the Year. Whew, my gosh, you think this was tough getting through all these categories. Now we got to get to the match of the year, the single match of the year that defined 2018. Oh, man. What's it going to be? I mean, is it going to be an AJ match? Is it going to be a Ronda Rousey match? Is it going to be a Charlotte Flair match? Is it going to be a Becky Lynch match? Is it going to be a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match? What is the match that happened in North America that was the match of the year that garnered so much attention, so many eyeballs, shocked so many people? And I know there are so many other feuds we could have talked about, and this one is really getting me here because this feud didn't necessarily emanate from the United States. It emanated outside of the United States. But man, was it a good feud. And I tell you what, it was so good. And the way this happened, as far as the match was concerned, I thought it was so good. And you may absolutely poo-poo on me, but from a men's perspective, it had to have been Kenny Omega and what was believed to be Pentagon, which actually was Chris Jericho, even though Chris Jericho told everybody that he wasn't going to be at All In. That was awesome. That's my opinion. People may not like it. I'll even throw in the Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa match. I'll even throw that one in as a close second. But I think the one that garnered the most eyeballs, that was just, oh my God, what's happening here, has to surround the whole Jericho phenomenon that happened in 2018. It was a big deal. It was a big wave. It was a tsunami of wrestling. Chris Jericho did things that we haven't seen other wrestlers do in a very, very long time. He's doing things that we used to see in the territories. But now the territories are on a global stage, and Chris is doing that. He's ushering in a brand new era. What's old or once was old is new again. He's doing a lot of great stuff, you guys. You gotta love what he's doing. You gotta love what he's doing in Japan. You gotta love what he's doing here in the United States. And you know what? It's not over yet. It's not over. Not by far. But I would have to say Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, which was alleged to be believed to be Pentagon, at All In. Awesome. Awesome. Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano. Awesome. Really good. Really, really good matches. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me, that is totally cool. Now for the women's side, man, what was the women's match, in my opinion, that I thought stole the show, that really solidified women's wrestling? Wow. I mean, this one didn't happen that long ago, but it was damn good. And I know a lot of people are calling this thing an instant classic. And I mean, it's hard to argue with it. Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. Holy cow. That's amazing. That was absolutely so much passion, so much fire, so much energy, so much everything, charisma, the storylines, the way they went ahead and put this thing, it was so good. After the Becky Lynch, Charlotte fallout, and then Becky turns on Charlotte, and then they start feuding, and then Becky gets injured, Charlotte steps in for her friend, they make up, Charlotte goes ahead and takes on Ronda, and it was so good. And now, the injury was done, this sounds so weird, but it was done so well that now that the Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey buildup is going to be even better. But the match that I have to give it to is Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair for the women. Guys, you heard my take on this whole thing. You've heard me go down the list of every single category. You heard every single thought that I had going through my mind in the year of 2018. Let me know if you agree. Let me know if you disagree. Let me know if you think, man, you're spot on with some of these things. And trust me, I don't come up with these thoughts all by myself. That's why I have the Cat and Tony Cottom and Dara O'Connor and James Trupenny and all of these amazing minds that work with me. They help me formulate all these thoughts because they are the ones that stimulate amazing wrestling conversation. They are the ones that are driving the next generation of people who continue to have these debates to make sure that wrestling doesn't die out, that wrestling doesn't have this lull where we don't talk about it. That's what makes the Trupenny Network so amazing, because it's not just on the Rewind, but it's on the Trupenny Show, and it's what they bring to the table, and it's everything. Guys, wrestling is so much fun. Listening, talking about it, debating about it is so much fun. So let me know what your thoughts are. You can go ahead and hit me up. I'm at Mike Freeland. I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Do you think I was right about Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa? Do you think I was right about Daniel Bryan? Slash maybe kind of, sort of, Shawn Michaels? Comeback of the year, was it David Arquette? Kind of, sort of, maybe? Do you completely disagree? Let me know. Share your thoughts. Guys, that's going to do it for this episode. I know it's not as long as we normally go, but I tell you what, I think we gave you a great episode. And once again, I do apologize. We had an almost two-hour show that we had done with the Cat and Tony Cottom, and we covered so many different things. We talked about subsets of categories, and they are phenomenal minds. And unfortunately, due to technical errors, that episode just wasn't able to air. But you have this one. But like I said, the conversation doesn't end here. Let us know what your thoughts are. And once again, The Rewind is brought to you by The Trupenny Show. Check out James Trupenny and his cast of wrestling minds as they talk about all things wrestling, specifically in Japan. You can find their podcast anywhere fine podcasts are made available. And remember, they're on Patreon. So if you want to go ahead and support the show, I highly, highly recommend doing that. James and his crew put out an amazing product, and I would highly encourage you to go ahead and follow them on Patreon. All right, guys, for Mike Freeland, for my esteemed colleagues, the Cat and Tony Cottom and Dara O'Connor, this has been the Year in Review on the Freeland Wrestling Rewind. We'll see you next time.